You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Wednesday slash Thursday, and welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. This episode was supposed to go up early Wednesday, and I forgot. I saw Joker, and I just completely forgot I was supposed to talk about Domantas Sabonis, so I apologize for that. But hey, you get back-to-back days now. Wednesday nighter, and then Adam will have an episode out for you tomorrow talking Bulls. Hopefully some Thaddeus Young in there. And he is doing a season preview tomorrow for Mr. Doug McDermott. So Adam is less into McDermott than me, so it's a good thing you'll get to hear from him. As always, I'm Tony East. It's one of the hosts of this lovely show. I cover the Pacers for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. Today is, of course, Domantas Sabonis' season preview, but we have some like fun housekeeping stuff to do, both about a potential extension for Sabonis and the Pacers made a roster move, so we get to talk about that. Jakinen Gant. Not many of you know something about him. That makes a lot of sense because he got signed. He was one of those like October 1st like actual signings. You know, he's Exhibit 10s can be signed during the moratorium. And so they signed Jakinen Gant July 1st, this Exhibit 10 deal. Undrafted guy, scored 20 points a game his senior year in college, but he had no chance of making the roster. He played in Summer League for the Pacers, Jakinen Gant did. In four games, 10.6 minutes per game, only 2.8 points per game. Was not much of an impact guy on that team, but he was there. And then, if you'll recall, the other night against the Kings on Saturday, he came in at the very, very tail end of the game for 2 minutes, but didn't touch the ball, didn't do anything. So he got waived. That just opens a roster spot, but they're not going to, I mean, there's probably no point of using it. Maybe they'll get used another Exhibit 10. That's not impossible, but I don't foresee that happening. I don't see the point of that at this point in time. CJ Wilcox and Amita Brima, the other two Exhibit 10 guys, did not get waived. Brima they're probably keeping because Goga Bitadze still hurt, so they need a backup center for these preseason games. And CJ Wilcox didn't get to play. He was hurt in India, so maybe they want to, you know, give him a chance to get on the floor before they officially waive him. But Gantz, because of his Exhibit 10, gets $50,000. If he reports to the Mad Ants, I imagine he will be doing so. So, yeah, a little housekeeping on that. Here's how little Jakinen Gant actually did stuff. The press release from the Pacers, this is on NBA.com/Pacers News. Here's the entire press release. The Indiana Pacers announced Wednesday they have waived forward Jakinen Gant. The Pacers roster currently stands at 19. That's it. That's the whole thing. So clearly not a big news thing. They could fill the whole thing out in two sentences. So now let's talk Sabonis in his upcoming season. Speaking of his upcoming season, though, he'll get a contract. He has to play on a contract. And Woj on NBA Countdown talking about a Sabonis extension. Off the cuff mentioning stuff like similar value to Miles Turner and how it might be hard for the Pacers to get those guys to play together, but it might be easier to trade him with an extension and stuff like that. But he also said probably in there, and he said a starting point might be like it was all conjecture to me. So it doesn't sound like he has a ton of inside information there, but he is Mr. Plugged. I mean, he knows everything about the league and what's going on. So, you know, if you want to read into that and say he knows that maybe they're discussing a deal close to Turner, is great. If you don't want to read into it at all because it's conjecture, great. I can understand both viewpoints on that, and that's that. But Sabonis is going to play games this year, so let's talk about actual basketball. Last year, and Johnny Mathais brought this into my head, and I keep using this. I always have to shout him out for this. Last year, I like to consider Sabonis' quote-unquote sophomore year, in air quotes I say, because his actual rookie year in Oklahoma City, he played wildly out of position on a team that was designed to get Russell Westbrook triple doubles. I mean, they obviously tried to win. They were pretty good, and they made the playoffs and stuff. But, you know, Sabonis' role on that team was get the hell out of the way so this guy can barrel roll through to the basket and get crazy stats. And that did not help him grow. That did not allow him to play right. I mean, he took so many threes that year. He took 159 threes that year. Since then, he's taken 54. So basically a third of that in two seasons since. So Johnny suggested that basically his second year was his rookie year at his actual position where he should be developing. And that I like that a lot. I think that's a good way to describe Sabonis' career arc, you know. And a lot of guys kind of have things click in their third year. They take off. I mean, that's the year that you're expected to be a meaningful contributor and not a growth guy, and that kind of happened for Sabonis in general last year. He had a lot of the benefits of being a legitimate third-year player, but on the court this year, I think we might see some more growth from Sabonis just because it is his quote-unquote third year as a post player. Now, he's moving back to the four, so you can push back on that if you want, but I think in the two preseason games we've seen him play, that the position change hasn't really impacted that much how often he's able to do the things he's good at, which is set the best screens on the court, roll well, make good decisions, magically just like ping pong off of defenders who can't stop you for some reason. So his, you know, he's lighter now. It seems like he's like a center power forward hybrid. He's that power FAUX forward that has been coined by the lovely Indy Cornrows staff. Another thing about Sabonis that helps him here. When Victor Oladipo saw him at Media Day, it was like the first time they'd seen each other in a while because Vic was in Miami and Sabonis was in Lithuania. And Vic was like, damn, Domas, you're lighter than me now. It was pretty funny. So the light, nimble center version of Sabonis is coming this year. And I think we saw a lot of his, you know, second year improvements as a center last year. You know, obviously setting the franchise record in 2-point percentage, getting on the court more, being really efficient, being a good scorer and rebounder. Obviously, he fouled a lot, which was a problem. His foul rate is just ridiculous. 4.7 per 36 minutes. You know, that's bad because you're letting a guy get to the free throw line. Even if you're fouling centers who are bad free throw shooters, they're still easier shots. I mean, you're getting high points per shot, higher points per shot from the free throw line than anywhere on the court. And it prevents him from playing more. So I think guarding perimeter players, that could continue to be a problem for him. But we're going to talk about looking forward later. I mean, basically every stat went up in a good or bad way. You know, his turnover rate went up too, but all the good stuff went up by more, and he was substantially better last year. He was a very good player, and it looks like he's going to grow and be better this year. So let's look at this year. Let's take a little break here and then talk about what to expect from Sabonis this season. So it's hard for me to dive into predicting Sabonis this season because there's kind of two paths to discuss. One is, you know, he's playing more minutes, and he's still, despite playing alongside Miles Turner now, you know, as we saw in the preseason, he's still able to do the things he is good at often. You know, it's not like he was just, like, stuck in the corner or limited or anything. They didn't even play together that much. I mean, I think something like 15, 16 minutes. I forget. I have it, but I didn't look it up before this. Not a ton, you know, under 10 minutes per game. And he was really good without Turner. They were both really good apart. You know, but they were fine together. But I think his minutes with Turner and without will still be different in terms of stats and production. And, you know, who knows how good their fit's going to be. That makes it like he'll get more minutes, but will his stats actually go up that much if it's, you know, in a worse situation than last year where he could just be the guy off the bench? So there's a lot of questions to consider when looking forward at Sabonis' season. And I think that's what makes him so intriguing. However, I think his skill set is somewhat lineup proof. Al Horford is the only guy who was, and Gobert, but like the stud defenders, the only guys who ever give Sabonis trouble. Everyone else, he just has no problem scoring over, even when he's on the floor with Turner, even when he has no spacing, even when, you know, he can't do this or that. His only nemesis besides players is Shrimp, because he gets food poisoning so often, but I think that means no matter what the situation, Turner or no Turner, is he's going to grow and look better. I think he can get his scoring up. We saw in the preseason that first game he had 21 points, I believe. I don't want to be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that's right. And he was just setting screens and carving guys up and bouncing off defenders. I love talking about him bouncing off defenders because I know, like, it happened last year, but it was so much more noticeable now that he's lighter. And he used his right hand a few times, and he just could not be stopped on his way to the rim. And I just, if that's the guy that they have, even if they have another Turner, if they have another center like Turner, and Turner was filling to the corner many times, I think he can still be your de facto center, who is being that great screen and roll player. His passing wasn't, you know, he didn't have as many setup opportunities because playing with, you know, Brogdon and TJ Warren's not really a guy who's like a catch and shoot guy. You know, you're just going to have less assist opportunities, but his passing was still good. He made good decisions. His turnovers were down a little bit. He just looked good in that group. I don't think that is going to limit him substantially in a way that makes me say, no, I don't want to substantially raise his stats. And I think Sabonis is due for a big improvement this year. I think him and Turner will be at worst equals an impact, but I think there's a chance Sabonis catches him, which I was not thinking that before the preseason games, but just something about the way he was playing and his size makes me think that he could end up being the better of the two by the end of the year. I never thought I'd be saying that, but hey, look at that. Two games. I'm very easily impressionable, aren't I? If Turner goes on another monster December, January run like last year, I will eat my own words, of course, again. But right now, I think it's safe to assume that they'll be, you know, the same level of player, which I think for Sabonis to get to a similar impact level to Turner, for me, he's, you know, a 16 or 17 and 10 guy every day. And I think he can do that. He was pretty close to that last year. And I think, you know, I don't think playing with Turner or this lineup change that he's going to have is going to reduce the number of shot attempts per minute he gets. So I think more minutes equals more shots, equals more scoring, especially for a guy like him who, you know, like I said, set the franchise record for shooting percentage last year. So I think on offense, it's safe to assume he's going to be much better. That's the safest assumption. The reason I say they'll still be equal in impact, probably, is because of defense. And Sabonis has mentioned many times, you know, he's cognizant of this. He spent all summer working on skills required to play the four, like foot speed and defensive slides. And I think he said he worked with Bill Baino in LA for a little bit on that kind of stuff. And, you know, he talked about at Media Day playing the four with Valanciunas, and there's some video evidence and him saying it evidence of like, yeah, he did okay defending some actions in FIBA as the four. So maybe he's a lot better on that end, but I'm going to have to see a large enough sample of games of him doing it well to be comfortable believing that he's going to be even a neutral impact defender on the perimeter. I think he can be. He's a very, very smart player, and I think high IQ players, even with more limitations, have a better shot of figuring it out. But I have to see that, and that will be a big limiting factor for him. Now, he will not be playing full-time defense at the four, and he's an okay defender at the five. The fouls are bad, like I talked about, but he's in the right positions a lot because of his IQ and stuff like that, which helps. So, yeah, I think it's reasonable to assume better stats and worse defense, but I think his offense and general IQ and foot speed and all that stuff improvements, that includes some defense with that foot speed stuff, will be enough that he is a significantly better player than last year. I know I'm a sucker for talking about two preseason games being convincing, but just given his career trajectory and the way he's improved and what we saw, I think I don't think that's unreasonable. And I'm perhaps too bullish here, but I think he's due for a big year, so it'll be interesting. Now, let's talk about his stats and the potential for a trade. I know, crazy, I'm talking about him getting better and a trade. And all that sort of stuff, predicting stats and all that junk in the next segment. So stick around after one more break, and we'll talk about all that. So speaking of conjecture, every person alive has suggested a Sabonis-Jaylen Brown trade. And I think Sabonis is probably going to be better than Jaylen Brown this year. So maybe for fit reasons you would do that trade. Sure. And I really like Jaylen Brown too, but we will have to see if something like that materializes. But like Woj said, if he gets extended, it increases his trade value, but for Sabonis specifically, he would be subjected to a clause called the poison pill clause, which makes it extremely hard to trade him if he gets extended for one season. So Sabonis probably only gets traded if he does not get extended, which makes sense logically too. Like, okay, this guy's contract is expiring, even though we can keep him, maybe we try to get value for him and then let the other team figure out his next deal. But I digress on that. I'm not sure what to make of the extension at this point in time. But, you know, the trading Sabonis is interesting. Like, the scenario where it happens is he is not better than Turner, and it makes sense to use his salary or asset value to improve the team more than Turner. And that is probably, he's probably the more likely center to get traded, I would say, at this point in time. He's the team's best asset. So I think there's a lot of avenues that it makes some sense to do it. But I'm not sure any of those are going to exist, especially if, you know, like I just talked about, he does end up passing Turner and being the better center. Then then that becomes extremely much less likely. You're going to hear a lot about that stuff. You know, Zach Lowe multiple times has mentioned that Brown-Sabonis swap. Maybe there's something else out there that could exist. I just haven't really thought about Sabonis trades because I think the team's going to think, okay, this worked against not Celtics teams last year. Let's try these two bigs. We think it can work. We think they're really good. We talked about giving Sabonis more minutes. We can't trade him without, you know, I think they're going to really, really try to make this work like for a lot of time. And I think that means Sabonis is extremely unlikely to be traded in general. I just wanted to talk about that notion since it is frequently brought up, and he is probably right now more likely to be traded than Turner, but incredibly unlikely. I'm talking like 1% on both guys. Probably 2% for Sabonis, 1% for Turner. So, stats. We always predict stats on these season look-aheads. I already talked about this last segment, but I think he can be a 17 and 10 or 11 guy pretty easily. I think a lot more of his rebounds will now be coming on the defensive end, just being out there on the court more. You know, I think it's going to be harder for him to get more offensive rebounds just because Turner will be out there, and I guess he'll be around the basket. Maybe it's an even split of offensive and defensive, and he'll be away from the basket on D. I don't know. Just in my head, it feels like he'll see a bigger jump in defensive rebounding than offensive rebounding. I don't really have a good reason for that. I just feel like that makes more sense, and I need to perhaps rethink that. But I think his overall rebounding definitely will go up, both per rate per minute and totals and per games, all that stuff. Assists, I don't know, but I think given the first two preseason games, I would say about the same level of assists per game, so three. Perhaps he's passing as much or more, but you know, if Lamb and Warren are what they are, where they are, you know, Warren, I guess, did do some catch and shoot, but those guys create their own shot more often. Those baskets don't end up counting as assists. So, and with Brogdon being asked to playmake the way he is, Sabonis is really only the playmaker with the second unit, or when he's, you know, when there's different combinations of guys on the floor. So I don't think his assists will go up substantially. The big one, though, is can his fouls and turnovers go down, right? Per game, 3.2 fouls, 2.2 turnovers. Those have to be lower. I think his usage naturally drops, which will help with the turnovers unless he starts to force the issue. But high IQ players tend to not force the issue very often. So I think we see his turnovers drop, but I think his fouls stay about the same just because with more minutes comes more fouls. And he'll be guarding players who are faster than him now and have different physical capabilities than him, which might make him foul more. So we'll have to see. But I am really looking forward to Sabonis this season. I was very impressed with his preseason. I think he probably impressed me most compared to expectations of any player, though I did mention Sumner in that group as well. So really looking forward to this season from Domas. Yeah, it should be fun. Can't wait to talk about him this year all the time. And the Turbonas duo, it's going to be so interesting to see if the Pacers can zig while everybody zags. That's all I've got for you guys today. Adam will be on tomorrow to talk preseason basketball and Doug McDermott, so don't miss that. You can follow me on Twitter at TEastNBA and the podcast at Locked On Pacers. We will see you guys very soon.